Welcome to the Extended Sidebar, the bonus episodes where we discuss things we found while writing up our usual episodes that we thought were too lengthy, complex, or just too bizarre to include on our regular schedule. I'm Ella. I'm here with my brother Greg.
Hello.
And today I'm going to tell you the story of the color fuchsia.
Okie doke.
Yeah, this is a color theory episode and it gets real nerdy.
Okay, I'm here for it.
So up until recently, I never actually questioned that fuchsia was like a real color that everyone knew about.
Okay.
Right? So when I say fuchsia, what color do you think of?
Like a reddish color?
Yeah, it's like a bright pink. It's hot pink. Do you know the flower fuchsia?
I do not.
Okay, so it's a tropical flower. It comes in like a million shades of pink, red, and purple. And the color is named after the flower. Or actually, it's not, Greg.
Oh, okay.
The color is named after Leonard Fuchs.
Okay.
Leonard was born in 1501 in what is now Bavaria in Germany. He was a doctor and a professor of medicine. He was a scholar of medicinal plants. He was a super gardener.
Okay.
So his life's work was notable commentaries on the history of plants, and it was one of the first herbals, a big encyclopedia of medicinal plants.
Okay, cool.
Fuchs speculated on foreign plants, and he included a few that were kind of interpreted from early descriptions of Europeans who traveled to the quote-unquote New World. He had things like corn,
right,
which was
right.
Unknown in Europe. But he was like extrapolating what he thought those plants look like.
Okay.
He never actually saw a fuchsia plant.
Right.
Which means that he never had to describe that particular color to the printers and colorists who worked on his book.
Okay. Is that where everything went wrong?
No, it's just a dead end that I thought was interesting.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like they didn't know what color they were going to do, so they just were like, I don't know, hot pink?
That comes into the story later.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
So the first Westerner to describe the fuchsia flower in the wild was French friar and botanist Charles Plumier, and he made several trips to the New World to gather and describe plant specimens for King Louis the... Oh, dear. 14th?
Okay.
King Louis the XIV. In 1696, Plumier goes to Santo Domingo, and he found a small shrub called the Mole Encanto.
Ooh.
And that translates to the beauty bush. Isn't that sweet?
I like it.
Plumier wrote an herbal, too, and his came out in 1703, and it was called New Plants of the Americas.
Ooh.
And he included the beauty bush as a plant called fuchsia.
Ah.
And it was named in honor of his predecessor, Leonard Fuchs.
Gotcha. Okay.
However, Plumier's book was not as well-funded as fuchsia's herbal.
Okay.
And the fuchsia ended up being illustrated in black and white.
Whoops.
Yep. Even worse, his specimens and seeds were lost in a shipwreck, and fuchsia plants didn't actually make it to Europe until 1788.
Yikes. Okay.
Another dead end, right?
Sure.
So when it finally got to Europe, the fuchsia plant was grown as a curiosity. So it was kind of like one of those rare exotic plants that you tucked in the corner of your garden.
Sure.
But when lithography became popular for advertising in the 1840s.
Okay, okay.
And you could use like beautiful color plates
to
advertise your plants for sale. The blossoms became absolutely irresistible to gardeners. The fuchsia flower is like a pendant. It falls down from a bush or a hanging plant. And it's very pretty. It has like a cylindrical part in the middle.
Okay.
And then it has these flying petals overhead. And then it drops like a tassel of stamens.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's very, very decorative and very pretty.
Cool.
So the problem is that wild fuchsia flowers do not have a uniform color, and they were even less uniform after Dutch and French plant breeders began developing cultivars.
Ah.
So if you go to Home Depot today, This is really funny.
Okay.
You're going to be looking at specimens that are called the Dollar Princess.
Okay.
Which is a great name for a flower.
Sure.
But Dollar Princesses are like an average kind of entry-level fuchsia, and even the average entry-level fuchsia has like a million different shades of pink in the petals.
Okay.
If you get out into the different breeds, the petals can range from purple to red to cream to pink, and the pistils, the little tassel, can be golden, red, pink, or white.
Do the stamens have different colors, or are they just...
Oh, yeah. Oh. And you can also find some that are like solid colors.
Huh.
So it's a real range.
Okay.
But in the middle of the 19th century, all of these different varieties were subject to whatever inks and pigments that the printers had available.
Okay.
And when copywriters tried to describe the color, they called it fuchsia pink.
Okay.
But that's not helpful.
Right. It's kind of like calling something car blue.
If you're talking about the fuchsia flower and you're saying, oh, I want a pink, like the pink of the fuchsia flower, like it,
right.
You can see the problem.
There's a wide range there, yeah.
Too wide. It's too much. And yet, this is when the plant fuchsia becomes associated with the color fuchsia.
Okay.
So by the middle of the 19th century, the passion for fuchsia, the color,
mm-hmm.
has gone from the greenhouse and the garden into clothing and home goods. Because
yes.
This is the time when the first aniline dyes were developed by French and English chemists.
Okay.
The first aniline dye was called mauvine, and it was kind of like a dull red.
Okay.
Right? Not very exciting.
Wow.
The second was called fuchsine, and fuchsine launched an absolute craze.
Okay.
So fuchsine was manufactured by the French firm Reynard et Frères. Apologies for that pronunciation. It is actually linked to the fuchsia flower by a pun. So they could have named it anything. They decided to name it fuchsine because not just that the dye is bright reddish pinkish purple.
Yeah.
But the German word fuchs translates to fox.
Oh, so the Reynard. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Super clever, right?
That is super clever. I love it.
We love a pun. So this new dye, which one chemist described as a, quote, magnificent crimson color.
Okay.
Was actually marketed as rosine for a few years. That's a little more floral. And then, Greg, the name of the color itself changed. So same color, but instead of calling it fuchsine or rosine, we're going to call it magenta.
Okay.
And that's because the French and Sardinian victory at the Battle of Magenta in 1859 was big news, and people felt like they needed to name a color after it.
Oh. Okay.
As you do. So adding to this confusion is the fact that fuchsine dye has a very flexible chemical structure. So chemists, even back in the 1860s, are already using gases and ketones to change the color from like bright or dull or pale. And they can also change the hue from pinkish to purplish.
Okay, yeah.
So between England and France, which is where the big textile factories are,
yep.
There are a range of colors. So there are four in total during the 1860s, that have the same name.
Okay. Yeah.
So fuchsine might be pink. It might be purple.
Right.
It might be red.
Right.
It might be light purple. I mean, can you imagine like going to a shop and trying to match your ribbons to your shoes or whatever?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I want the fuchsine. I want the magenta ribbons, please.
Right.
And they give you four different shades.
Yeah.
But you have to admit that's on brand.
I mean, yeah, it's.
So at the height of European passion for fuchsia.
Okay.
Fuchsine was used to dye everything from wedding gowns to Christmas candy.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So for an instant there, it was everywhere. And then it fell out of fashion.
Yeah. The fashion world is
so
fickle.
Yeah, it's people just had a lot and then it was too much. They're like, no, I would really like some browns and greens and something a little more relaxing.
Yeah. Yep.
So fuchsia was out of fashion for about 20 years.
Out of fuchsia?
Well, that sounds like fusion.
It does. Mm.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah, we'll take that one back.
So in 1835, the English company Winsor & Newton, the paint company,
okay,
they began producing paint carrying the red/pink/purple pigment quinacridone.
Okay.
So here's another point at which fuchsia could be like standardized, right?
Sure.
Because that is the color. That is the red color.
Uh-oh.
But it's a permanent color, but it's both very vivid and very translucent. It's like an early fluorescent.
Oh, okay.
So depending on what kind of light it's in, what kind of underpainting there is, the texture of what you're painting.
Sure.
How dry it is, what your gloss is. It is a bunch of colors.
Yeah.
So around the same time, color theorists and scientists were coming to a very surprising conclusion that magenta fuchsia is not actually on the visible light spectrum.
What?
It's not a real color.
Okay.
That explains why we have such confusion over it. So it just doesn't have a visible wavelength. It's either below the lowest wavelength, which is blue-violet, or it's above the highest, red.
Okay.
So the color we see when we look at fuchsia, because obviously it's a real color, you can see it.
Right, right, yeah.
Right, just look at a Barbie outfit or nail polish or whatever.
Yep.
So it's actually a trick of the eye. It's a bridge color.
Oh,
and
okay.
That is the term for colors that our brain invents so that we can interpret what we're seeing. We just don't have the right photoreceptors to see fuchsia the way it appears to, like, a hummingbird.
Right.
In Santo Domingo.
Right, right.
Hummingbirds actually have 4 cones in each retina, so they can see like 12 more colors than we can.
I mean, we don't have time to get into the wonder that is the mantis shrimp, but yes.
Yeah, it's very Lovecraftian after a certain point.
I kind of love it. Okay.
So this like means that fuchsia is completely up for interpretation. So if you buy a purple crayon, it might be called fuchsia, right?
There
are colored pencils that are called fuchsia that are actually pink or mauve.
Yep.
The big paint companies have a lot of paint called fuchsia that are actually pinks or purples.
Yep.
And they also have colors called magenta.
Yeah.
Which may or may not match up to our perception of fuchsia.
So if the same paint company makes a magenta and a fuchsia, they should be 2 different shades though, right? Like, I've always thought of, like, magenta as, like, a deeper red and fuchsia as, like, a brighter pink kind of thing.
So I'm going to tell you about Pantone.
Okay.
Their color of the year for 2023 is Viva Magenta.
Viva
which
Magenta.
Which is, like you said, it's a dull red.
Okay.
Their ad copy describes it as an animated red that revels in pure joy, which I don't agree with. But they do have a fuchsia, and their fuchsia is pinkish purple.
Okay.
Their true fuchsia is called process magenta.
Oh, man, that's confusing.
Right? But remember, it's not a real color.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's just confusing.
So we live in the 21st century. We have digital color now.
Yep.
The CMYK color model includes fuchsia as a primary color, but again, they call it magenta.
Yep.
The RGB model treats it as a secondary color, which is created by combining blue and red at a high saturation, which doesn't make purple.
Right.
It makes like an intense purplish pink.
Right, yeah.
And web color, we're back to the 1860s, they treat fuchsia and magenta as the same color.
Okay.
So it was fuchsia, but now it's magenta because the French and the Sardinians won.
Right. That is bananas.
Yeah. Like, by the time I was done looking at all these swatches and thinking really hard about colors, I, first of all, had a wicked headache. And second of all, I was like So what is, like, of all the colors I looked at, the closest thing I found to my perception of fuchsia was the CMYK model, the magenta circle.
Okay.
That model. Because it's very vivid.
Sure.
And it's exactly between red and purple.
Sure. I mean, that fits the definition well enough for me.
Right, but...
yeah.
Like, it's not related to Viva Magenta, the Pantone color of the year.
Sure.
And it's not really related to any of the fuchsines or the rosines that I looked at. Anyway, it was a real rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have to think about it every time you see something pink. The end.
Or every time you see something that's labeled magenta. I'm not really seeing it.
You're not. It's not real.
It's not real. That's
crazy. It's a
figment
of your eyeballs. Yep.
I kind of love it. So wait a minute. So if you and I look at, who have genetically similar eyeballs, look at the same thing that is labeled magenta, will our perceptions be seeing it as two separately different colors?
There's no way to test that, right?
Right. There isn't. But I'm just like... That's a cool little thought experiment right there.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
That is wild. I did not know anything about fuchsia other than the beginning of that story sounds like one of our dad's stories where it's like, you know, oh yeah, and the game of baseball was invented by Joe Baseball. But like, no, fuchsia's named after a dude named Fuchs. That's cool.
Who never saw it.
And if he did, he still never would have seen it.
That's right. Because we're not actually seeing it either. Ooh.
Yeah, crazy.
All right. This has been your extended sidebar. Thank you very much.